On Wednesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, why new research reveals Black households pay more for home energy than white households. I'm talking with University of California, Berkeley PhD student Eva Lubich, who has a new working paper out digging into racial disparities in energy bills. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your research answers what seems like a fairly straightforward question, which is, do Black households spend more on home energy bills than white households do? And we're talking about natural gas, electricity, other home heating fuels. You looked at data from about a million households across the U.S., and the answer you found was yes, Black households do pay more than white households do. So how much are we talking about?
Yeah, so when I look at just a basic comparison of whether Black households pay more than white households, not controlling for any other differences across households, the difference isn't super large. It's about $50 a year. But once I start comparing households in a more apples to apples way, so once I compare households with similar incomes and similar household sizes, and also control for the city that households live in to make sure that they're experiencing similar weather patterns, we're talking about a $273 difference for renters and a $410 approximately dollar difference for homeowners.
So hundreds of dollars in difference between what Black and white households pay for energy every year. And you also looked at the age of the homes that people lived in. Why?
My first hypothesis was that it must be an energy efficiency story. Maybe Black households don't live in as high quality homes due to a variety of different factors, including potentially the persistent effects of racial segregation. And so I wanted to see if, you know, one measure of energy efficiency could be the age of a house, because older houses were not built as efficiently as newer houses are.
Right. You don't have brand new double pane windows and high efficiency appliances and that kind of thing.
Exactly. But I was surprised to find that actually, controlling for the age of the house that a household lives in doesn't affect this gap in any meaningful way. And I think that's because, the age of the home isn't a complete measure of the energy efficiency of the home. So it doesn't account for whether a household or a previous tenant had upgraded the windows or upgraded the appliances.
So it's the condition of the housing stock, not just the age of the housing stock, that may be at play here.
Right, exactly.
You find this disparity is consistent for renters and for homeowners.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to find that there was as large a disparity for homeowners than renters, because basic econ models would have speculated that homeowners are able to make improvements to their homes, whereas renters are sort of at the mercy of their landlord. If they have high energy bills, they can't upgrade their windows or appliances. And so I really thought that the gap would be much more stark for renters, and it doesn't seem to be the case. And so my best guess is that the stories are a little bit different, that for homeowners, it's a story of sort of accumulated wealth and ability to make investments. White households have about 10 times as much wealth as Black households at the median. And so they have more savings and they can make those fixed cost investments that Black households potentially can't make. And there also might be another factor, which is that there's been some research that has shown that Black households face higher property tax assessments for sort of the same home value and amenities in the local area than white households do. And so it might be that Black households are sort of incurring a higher cost of living in a home. And so they're not able to make energy efficient investments as easily as white households.
And one area where you see the disparity disappear is in the wealthiest households, at the very top of the income ladder. Among the top 10% of income earners, the gap effectively just goes away. So what does that indicate?
Yeah, to me, that is a story of energy efficiency upgrades. So my best guess, and I can't say anything causal here, but my best guess is that at higher incomes, families are able to make the investments that are sort of high upfront costs, so buying a new energy efficient appliance or upgrading all the windows or upgrading to a more efficient water heating system or whatever it may be, they're able to make those investments and decrease their energy bills moving forward. Whereas at lower incomes, you might not be able to sort of pay those high fixed costs upfront.
What is understanding the presence of this disparity and getting into the mechanisms of the disparities mean for policymakers? You know, how does that kind of shift their debate about sort of what to do in terms of energy policy, in terms of climate change, in terms of subsidies?
I think what this means is that if we're trying to write policy that is going to reduce energy consumption or to address climate change, we need to understand at the root what causes energy consumption and what drives it and how people respond to prices and what causes people to reduce their consumption. And I think that, you know, part of what this research might be showing us is that, you know, a lot of energy consumption is essential. I mean, once you get to high incomes, people are heating their pools or running a ton of appliances, and that's sort of non-essential spending. But at the core, you need to heat your home in the winter. You need to make sure that you're not sitting around in a 100-degree home in the summer, and you need to cook your food and light your home. And so a lot of this energy spending is essential. And I think we need to understand if we're going to create a climate policy, for example, that increases the price of energy and on its own. So for example, like a carbon tax would increase energy. We need to think carefully about whether people are going to be able to respond to those price signals or whether they're just going to get stuck with a higher energy bill because none of their consumption is voluntary anyway. And so I'm hesitant to say that, you know, there's any single solution because I don't know what the causal mechanisms are here, but I think that policymakers need to sort of understand what drives disparities in energy consumption and what that might mean for people's capacity to reduce energy in response to, say, higher prices as a result of climate policy. And I think that when we write climate policy, we should be thinking very critically about how do we upgrade building stock and how do we upgrade appliance stock and how do we make sure that people are sort of in a good position to actually reduce their energy consumption or clean up their energy consumption.
Eva Lubich is a PhD student in the economics department at the University of California, Berkeley. She's also a graduate student researcher at the Energy Institute at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Eva, thanks.
Thank you so much.